And how they were brought out of Egypt by the hand of Moses. I thought of how that the people were so poor. They had been slaves. They did not have the possessions of land, houses that other people had. They had maybe even no hope of ever having their own property, you might say. But we all know that God had a plan for them to have possessions. And so he brought them out, and he wanted to take them to a land of promise, the land of Canaan. And as we all know, they rebelled, and so then they had to wander in the wilderness. And they came down, and it was Joshua that was to lead them to the land of promise. Now, they already knew the good report of the land of Canaan. Though there was an ill report that there were giants in the land, and the very fear of the giants is what caused them to have to wander in the wilderness. But the report was, and may I say this before we, if you have comments, I'd like Trenton to get his mic and get ready, stand out here and be ready. I'll just tell you this, that Sister Jean has listened to some Bible studies that we've had, and the gaps in the Bible studies is a real hindrance. And the truth is, Trenton tries real hard to get the mic to us. The truth is, we start talking, and by the time he gets there, we're through talking. You try to get through before he gets there. Well, for those that try to listen to it, it really hinders them. She spoke to me yesterday about it. So if you have something to say, oftentimes we just start talking. Let's raise our hand. Let Trenton have a chance to get to it. And then those that will listen to it, specifically Sister Jean, that's what she sometimes has to have. So I just want to insert that here. I want us to have something complete today that she could hear or whoever else would want to hear. So let's respect Trenton and wait for him. And I will try to also repeat something if it doesn't get repeated. But back to the children of Israel now. We know that the good report was a wonderful report. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and those were the words of God. He said, I'm going to give you this land. And he said, you're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. It was just going to be a wonderful inheritance. And God had it all prepared for them. And so it came down to Joshua. And Joshua became the leader. And I would like for us to look at the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy and see where the reins, you might say, was being given over to Joshua. It's a wonderful, if you want something really interesting to study, turn and read about these kind of things. Read about when the spies went in to spy out the land. There is some nuggets in those places. And then read about how Moses is instructing Joshua that he's going to be taking them into the land of promise. In the 31st chapter, we're not going to read everything. I'm going to do 1 through 3 and 7 and 8. And it says that Moses went and spake these words unto Israel and said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And the Lord thy God will go before thee, and he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord saith. You skip on down to verse 6, and here now he is speaking to Joshua, and he is saying, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then verse 7, he almost repeats it. Now, why do you think it's necessary for things to be repeated? Mike, over here. So the question is, why is it necessary for things to be repeated?
So that people will better remember them.
So that people will better remember them? Is there any other reason? There's no answer I'm looking for. I'm asking for your thoughts.
It draws attention.
It draws attention. What else? If you have something, raise your hand, so that he can get to you. I may even call on you. I will tell you this, that if things were not repeated from the first grade, would you have learned it? That is the Bible way, that everything is repeated more than once for you and me to get it into our hearts and minds. And so the seventh verse, he repeats it. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of the Lord. Again, he says, you be strong and of good courage. He knew that there was something out there that he was going to face, that he needed these words repeated. You need to have courage, for thou must go unto this people into the land. You're going to go with this people. You're going to be the leader of this people, and you're going to face some things, and you're going to go into the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them. And look at the last part of this verse. I love this. It says, thou shalt cause them to inherit. So I want us to keep that particular little verse in our mind as we go through this. You and I can help each other inherit blessings, inherit spiritual wealth. What do we inherit in the world? What is an inheritance? Anybody here ever receive an inheritance? Has anybody ever passed away in your life and you received, maybe we don't want to tell, but you know, there was a surprise one time from somebody that had been dead for a long time. And it came down, it trickled down, and it came to another generation that didn't even know the people. Have you ever heard of an inheritance like that? A real surprise inheritance? Inheritances can be wonderful, and God wanted his people to inherit wonderful things. Is there any type or shadow in what we have read so far or talked about? What is a type and a shadow? Robert, what is a type and a shadow? Robert.
A type. A type is something that tells what is coming. A shadow points back to the type, I guess.
Well,
an example?
Yes, good. A tree, if we see the shadow, don't we know there's a tree there? Or if we see the shadow of the building, we know there's the substance is there. So these things that happened to the children of Israel, of going into the land and possessing the land as an inheritance, and even Joshua as the leader, and causing them to inherit. Those are things that you and I can take and think about and apply them now to our lives and our time and the New Testament. Okay? That's good. So it was the true substance. So thou shalt cause them to inherit. Now, think a little bit. What was the first thing that Joshua and the children of Israel, what was the first miracle, I'll put it that way, where God proved himself? Brother Dan brought it out in a study not very long ago, probably the last time he mentioned it.
If I said it, I'd have to raise my hand.
Yeah, you have to raise your hand.
Crossing the Jordan was probably the first miracle that they had.
It was the first one. And what was the purpose of that particular miracle? Keep the mic a little bit. What happened? Let's just say that. What happened that was such a miracle?
Well, the purpose was for them to get on the other side dry.
Get on the other side dry? Okay. How did they get over there dry?
Stop the water, the flow. And it was out of its banks before he stopped it, before God stopped it.
Flooding?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the miracle is it stood up in a heap.
Mm-hmm.
And then out in the middle of this Jordan River, there were rocks. And what was the commandment of the Lord now? I want you to do something.
One from each tribe to take a stone and carry it to the other side.
And it was for the purpose of?
Where they would stay that night, they'd put it up for a memorial so their children would be able to see it later.
And they looked upon it many times, and their children said, "What is this pile of rocks doing right here?" And they would tell the story over and over. Did they tell it more than once? They repeated it just like it was repeated to Joshua over and over. You be of good courage. You're going to lead these people, and you're going to cause them to inherit. So the next place that they went from there was Jericho. What happened at Jericho? These are all familiar stories to us. We don't want to get bogged down in the stories of this, but we want to remember the stories. We know that the stories was that God told them exactly how to do it for 7 days, every day, and they obeyed it. Exactly as the Lord said, and the walls came down and they subdued the city. Okay, the next one was God fights with hailstones, and the scripture said that in that battle, more people were killed with hailstones than the sword. God is proving himself to the children of Israel over and over. But the event that happened in that or right after that was most astounding. And I want somebody to help. I want the mic. Stand up and come up here and get closer to them, to whoever wants to tell. What is the next event that happened that has never happened again or before? And the scripture in that place says that God heard the voice of a man. And he obeyed it. He hearkened to the voice of a man. You know what it was? The sun that you and I look at today stood still for one day. It had never happened before, and it has never happened since. And even scientists say that happened. So God did that for them to win the battle. Isn't that remarkable? So these are things that they inherited from the blessing of the Lord. Okay. Now, they fought all of their battles, and they come down, and now it's time. The land is theirs. And they begin to divide up the land. And they divide it among all of the 12 tribes. But there was one group that did not get any land. Now that's going to be the next question. But before we get to that one, I want us to consider the one that went in as a spy and came back out with a good report. And he was promised something. He was promised. What was he promised? Who knows it? Hebron. It was a special land, and it was Caleb. Now, Caleb was 40 years old when they went in. He is now, what? How old is he now when he comes back out? When they're getting ready to take the land? 85. How much is that? How much? 85. Now he's an 85-year-old man, and he's ready to take his land. And he comes to Joshua, and he says, now Moses promised me this land. And this is going to be in Joshua, the 14th chapter, if you want to turn over and look at it. I love this part, too. This is one of my favorite parts of this story. I'm going to find it there. He comes to him in verse 11. Verse 10 says, now the Lord hath kept me alive these 45 years. Lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now give me this mountain. Don't you like that? You ever have any mountains in your life and you read this and you say, Lord, give me my mountain. Give me that mountain, like Caleb was saying here. It goes on down, and in verse 13, at the latter part of it, it says, Hebron was given for him for an inheritance, and it repeats it again in 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. But look at the last part of verse 14, and it'll say why. Somebody take the mic and read it for us.
Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel.
Because Caleb wholly, wholly, completely followed the Lord. So it became his inheritance. That's a very important point to make today, that we wholly follow the Lord. Okay, this is sort of just a little foundation now for our thoughts today. That God had an inheritance for the children of Israel, and it was a wonderful inheritance. It was all good. Now I want to say this. I'm going to give you some other scriptures. This scripture is 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, and it said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So we carry this over now to the New Testament. We're going to consider our God and how he has things for you and me to inherit and enjoy. And he says in one place, I want your soul to prosper. I want you to be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. He considers our soul. He considers us physically. I believe he considers us materially. I believe he wants to bless our lives. He wanted to bless the children of Israel, giving them houses they did not build and vineyards they did not plant. And he wanted them to enjoy it, and it was part of their heritage. And I am not putting this out today as a materialistic blessing, but I do believe that the Lord takes pleasure in blessing his children in that way. There's a scripture in Proverbs 8 and 21 that says that he will cause those that love me to inherit substance. Proverbs 13 and 22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children. Now, I'm not talking about us today leaving an inheritance to our children at all. But I want to say that the Lord is so good because he wants to leave an inheritance to his people too. Over in Luke, the 11th chapter, and we'll look at verses 11 through 13. Very familiar scripture, and probably the children could quote it. Something that Jesus said here, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know, Jesus was wanting those that he was speaking to right here to have a vision, a little understanding of what good things that the Lord has for his people. He wants us to ask. And then it says, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit part of our heritage, your inheritance? What is willed to God's people, the Holy Spirit? Isn't that wonderful? When you ask for the Holy Spirit, do you expect to get the Holy Spirit? Is it promised? What does the word say about the promises? The next verse I have is out of Joshua again. And it's from that 13th verse of Joshua in verse 33. Turn back over here just for a minute. Verse 33 says this. But I spoke just a little bit ago and I said one tribe did not get land. This is what it said. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. So they had something different. Was it more valuable than the land? I believe it was. I believe the Lord wants us to look away, even though the Lord wants to bless us with material things, we cannot focus on those material things. But if the Lord is our inheritance, isn't that more valuable? Isn't it more precious when he comes and reveals himself to us? When he speaks to us, did you know it is more valuable to hear the voice of the Lord than any other voice? It's a still small voice, and sometimes we miss it. You know, we can open up the Word of God and begin to read out of it, and that's his voice too. And when you open it up and read it and you begin to taste how good it is, oh, it can be so precious. It can feed us. That's our inheritance. That's what he wants to give to us. Let the Lord be your inheritance. Now, in Isaiah 65, I'm going to read another scripture that's going to connect these two. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. And it says this, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I might not destroy, may not destroy them all. Look at verse 9. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor. I'd never noticed that word before. One that inherits. Inheritor of my mountains. See, talking about a mountain again here. You're going to inherit this mountain. But this is talking about a special inheritor. And then it says, and mine elect which shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And you skip down part of verse 10 at the end. It says, for my people that have sought me. We go back to Caleb. He inherited that mountain. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord. You and I are going to inherit our mountains if we too are seeking after the Lord with our whole heart. That's going to be the secret. But let's talk about this inheritor now. Has anybody ever seen that word before? Inheritor, which is a noun, a person. I believe that that is Christ. Over in John 1 and 12, it says, we received him. Let's turn and read it. I'm afraid I can't quote that one. John 1, and somebody gets it. You can start. But as many as received him, to them gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now we're talking about the inheritor. Now, how do you inherit? Anything, somebody has to die. Before you can inherit their possessions, it can be given to you, somebody had to die. You and I have been granted an inheritance because Jesus died. If he had not died, where would we be? Would we be inheriting all of these blessings of life? We wouldn't. We would not have salvation. Is salvation an inheritance of Christ's death? It is. Thank the Lord. But in order for you and me to become the sons of God, what happened? He had to die in order for you and me to be his sons. For him to be the inheritor of the eternal kingdom and to pass it on down to his children, to give you the possession of an eternal land. Where is the eternal land? Isn't it heaven? Eternal life? Is that our inheritance? I believe it is. Hebrews 6, look at 12 through 15. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience do what? Inherit the promises. Now we have presented the one that is the inheritor. He's made it possible for you and me to inherit the kingdom. Now he wants us to inherit the promises through faith in his word. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, you and I are going to have to do some patient waiting sometimes, in order to patiently receive an inheritance. So after patiently enduring, he obtained the promise. You want to receive promises? Sometimes we have to patiently wait for it. But that's part of our heritage. We can inherit the promises, but we have to believe and patiently wait for them. We have to have faith. Now I want to go to Revelations, the 21st chapter, and I want to look at verses 5 through 7 at the top, or at the end of verse 5. It says, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life freely." What's the inheritance in this part? What is the inheritance here? It's the water of life. The water of life. And then verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We have an inheritor that is able to give us all things. Thank the Lord. Now I'd like for you to consider some things that we do inherit. I believe we inherit many blessings. Oftentimes when we testify, isn't that how we start out? I want to thank the Lord for all his many blessings. Had any blessings? Blessings can sometimes be in disguise. We may not see the blessing until afterwards. And if you'll turn with me over to the 5th chapter of Matthew, and this is very familiar, we're going to see what he considers blessings. May not always be the kind of blessings, "Oh, when the Lord protected me, when the Lord supplied my needs, when the Lord touched my body, when the Lord did this and the Lord did that." Those are all blessings. But I believe our inheritance lies in this 5th chapter. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Yes. That's our heritage. When we realize that we are helpless without the Lord. Do you ever feel helpless in yourself? You have to feel helpless. Your heritage is that he will help you. Remember the little thought we had in the message a couple of weeks ago on prayer? On using the word help all the time throughout your prayer. I have thought of that every time I pray and I say, "Help," whatever, I'm thinking of how that's probably the most used word in our prayer, because we are poor. We cannot truly help ourselves. You may think you can. I've often said to even the children at school when we worked in the school, even if you've studied, ask the Lord to help you pass the test. And then what have we got when we come on Wednesday night? Oftentimes we have these testimonies that are rich to even us that are old. These young people are learning. Give God the glory. He helped me pass this test. Even if you studied, Lord, help me that it will come back to my mind. We blessed are those that cannot help themselves.
Help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me.
Abide with me. It says, if you and I are poor in our spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I never could understand that, but the Lord brought that open to my mind one time, and I wrote it down here. And I say it this way: all that the kingdom of heaven stands for is at my disposal. What does the kingdom of heaven stand for? In your eyes, in your mind, in your thoughts, is it truly the help when you can't help yourself? Oh, I want to tell you, when we learn to depend on God, are you dependent or are you independent? I want to tell you, even when I was younger, I look back and I see I was independent. I thought I could get in the kitchen and cook any meal. Burned it a few times, but I thought I could do it. I didn't ask the Lord to help me. I thought I could drive. Did I never have an accident? I had a bunch. After a while, you get the picture. You need help, and you need to depend on the Lord. And that's our heritage. That's our inheritance. So I'm going to say to you that are younger, start now. Don't wait till you're really old and start saying, Lord, I need help to cook a meal or whatever. I mean, Robert here, I know he has a talent with wood. I know he's good at it. But do you know, Robert, if you can ask the Lord, Lord, help me, you probably will make less mistakes. Not that he makes a bunch of mistakes, but all of us, whatever you're doing, then you have a testimony. The Lord helped me. See, you can give God the glory. Then it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's our heritage. Blessed are the meek. And this one has the word inherit in it. For they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? And I'm not telling you I know it. I don't. What does it mean that I'll inherit the earth? Who has an idea? I really don't. I mean, I'm not wanting to inherit this. If it's a literal earth. Now, if it's this earth, I want to inherit that. I want to be able to surmount and overcome my flesh. So what do you all think? When it says we will inherit the earth. Anybody have a thought? What? Spiritual. Oh, here. Spiritual earth. She says spiritual earth. Okay. That's good. We overcome, but we have to be meek. Who was the meekest person? Moses. He was meek, but did he have some problems? He had some problems. He was human. And it goes next and it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, and that is our heritage. Have you ever started feeling dry and empty? You just go a little too long without really getting filled back up. You got a little bit too busy. Maybe you didn't take time to read and pray. I'm not going to point a finger at anybody. But I'm going to say this, that most of the time for the child of God, when they start feeling that way and they make a little trip to the altar, it's because of that. Most of the time, I just feel dry. I just feel empty. And we have to get filled back up. And we get a hold and we go again. And that's our heritage. That's a blessing to us. It says, blessed are they, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are all of these our inheritance? Is it your heritage to be a peacemaker? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is our inheritance. This is what God looks on and say, that's a blessing. When they can fulfill all of these things, they're blessed. Now I would like to close with a few thoughts concerning the scripture that we said, thou shalt cause them to inherit the earth. The scripture says that you and I are, we are our brother's keeper. What does that mean? In what way am I my brother's keeper? Damon, I'll repeat it. You can go ahead and say it. How are you the brother's keeper?
We're to help them make heaven.
We're to help each other make heaven? How can I do that?
We influence each other.
We influence each other. That's one way. But how else? We encourage each other.
Pray.
We pray for one another. How else?
We help fight their battles and defend them against things that might hurt them spiritually.
Yes, and we have a song that says, we need each other, brethren. And it says, he's my brother, he's not heavy, I'll carry him. You know, those kind of things. We can help each other make heaven. And we need to. Husbands and wives should always help each other make heaven. Did you know that's one reason you got married? Is to help each other make heaven. Do you believe that that's one of the reasons you got married? You may not have thought of it as you were standing up there taking your vows. But in reality, that's what it was. Because you said, till death, we do part. And so your sole goal and purpose should be, help my husband, and I'm going to help my wife make heaven. So that's one of the ways that you can cause your family members to inherit. I have one scripture also that I want to give. There's several things that you all could say. I will say this. I think one of the number one things, all of the things that was said was good, but for you to prove faithful is going to help others make heaven. If you fail and if you fall away and give up, it will not be an encouragement to anyone. If you will be true. I have two others written down here that I'd like for us to just take home with us and consider. Be patient with our brothers and our sisters. If we see them failing, let's be patient with them and pray. It's been mentioned that. The scripture also says for us to consider the weak, weak in the faith, lest we also be tempted. So that's how I can help. I can be considerate when I see someone is weak in the faith. The other scripture that I have in closing is Acts 3 and 1 through 6. And this is the story of Peter and John. And they are going to the temple, and they are passing by a man that is lame and has been lame from his birth. And he is there begging. And he looked at Peter and John, and he asked them to give him some alms. But Peter, fastening his eyes, verse 4, upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now, when you and I can say to our brother, "Look at me." If we can say, "Follow me as I follow Christ, I'm going to help my brother make heaven." If I have confidence in the way that the Lord is leading me in my life, and that I am following what the Lord wants me to do, I'm being obedient, I will be able to say all of those things. Look on me, or follow me as I follow Christ. But it goes on, and the man looked at them with expectations, and this is what Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." That's how you and I will be able to help others make heaven, is to have that substance. We read that scripture, that he will give us substance. And I believe that is spiritual substance. So that's our little thought today, is that we have a great heritage and we have much to possess. The scripture teaches us that wherever I set my foot, speaking of land, my spiritual land, I will claim that land. And that will be my inheritance. Wherever I need to overcome in my personal life, in my personality, in the way that my family traits might be, whatever that is, God has a wealth of an inheritance to overcome. That's the only way I can, is for the Spirit of the Lord to allow me to see myself, and he changed that. So I thank the Lord that we have a great inheritance. I know there are people that are looking forward to their earthly inheritance when a relative is gone. That's the only way they can get it. And maybe they're even spending that money in their mind before they even get it. There are people that do that. Wouldn't you like to spend what the Lord has for you even before you get it? Because it's there for you. You can look at it and say, "The Lord has this for me. It's my inheritance. And I can take it to the bank." Thank the Lord. The Lord has good things for his children. He's not going to give you a stone, and he's not going to give you a serpent and a scorpion. What you ask for, he's going to give it to you. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.